My name is Mike DeLeon. I am the new Outlaw 40 and today's host of Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, the podcast of the operations group at the National Training Center at Fort Irwin. As part of NTC's Warrior Chronicles, Gauntlet drives warfighting by talking to leaders from our joint force about the crucible of ground combat, leadership, training, and fighting at the National Training Center. Today, I am sitting down with Command Sergeant Major Corey Willis of the 2nd Armored Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division, Command Sergeant Major James Smith of the 3rd Battalion, 15th Infantry Regiment, Command Sergeant Major Melcher, Senior Enlisted Trainer for the Cavalry Squadron, Brigade, and the CSM of Ops Group during Rotation 26-08. And a special bonus, we have Command Sergeant Major Dave Shipman of the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, Black Horse 7 himself. We're here to discuss lessons learned from Rotation 26-08, an Army-designated transformation and contact rotation. What's different about TIC rotations are the changes employed on how a brigade fights, how it's task organized, while integrating new capabilities to inform the Army on lessons learned, which helps drive decisions for the future. Today, we're here to discuss a common occurrence within formations. Not only transformation in contact, but transition in contact in terms of leadership development, most notably senior NCOs. It's not unrealistic for leaders to transition out before, during, or immediately after significant events. It's actually quite common. The leaders joining me today are going to explore challenges and opportunities associated with leadership transition and from our ops group and op 4 counterparts, best practice observed. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. Please introduce yourself, starting with Spartan 7.
Command Sergeant Major Corey Willis from Indianapolis, Indiana. Been in the Army for 23 years. Been Spartan 7 for the last 4 months.
Sergeant Major Smith.
Sergeant Major Smith from San Diego, California, right down the road here. I was raised a light infantryman for most of my career. Spent some time heavy and as a first sergeant. Then I've been in position here as Command Sergeant Major 315 for 33 days now.
Command Sergeant Major Melcher.
My name's Chris Melcher. I've been in for about 24 years now. Spent most of my career in the I's and S's, SBCTs. I've been here at the National Training Center for about 18 months and served from Cobra, Outlaw, and Bronco positions.
And lastly, Command Sergeant Major Shipman, Black Horse 7 himself.
Sergeant Major Dave Shipman. I am from Tucson, Arizona. I have been in the Army now for about 25 years. I am a 19 Delta Scout by trade and spent most of my career on Strikers.
Thanks for being here today. I know firsthand how challenging jumping right into a Command Sergeant Major position prior to NTC rotation, especially as we search through doctrine, articles, and shared experiences to place detail in our roles and responsibilities. Before I begin, I'd like to share a few pieces of literature that helped me prepare for undertaking the responsibilities prior to entering the box. ADRP 5-0, the operations process. Command Sergeant Majors assist the commander with assessing operations as well as assessing the condition of morale of the forces. ADRP 6-0, mission command. In operations, commanders employ their CSMs throughout the area of operations to extend command influence, assess morale of the force, and assist during critical events. Both of these references are mentioned in an article written by the former Division Command Sergeant Major of 1st Cavalry Division, Command Sergeant Major LaVaris Jackson, titled The Command Sergeant Major's Place on the Battlefield. And then lastly, the NCO Crosswalk Guide from Centers of Army Lessons Learned, which was spearheaded by Command Sergeant Major Tyrod Fenderson, another former Outlaw 40. So bottom line, Command Sergeant Major needs to be what their commander and their organization require them to be. Starting with being the organization's problem solver. Sometimes you're a planner, sometimes you're a coach, or sometimes you're a counselor on the battlefield. And most of the problems Command Sergeant Majors will solve are breaks in the loop of sustainment information. Really filling in the gaps for tasks that were not properly planned, rehearsed, trained, or synchronized. What I want to discuss is transition and contact, and the limited preparation in planning and the preparing phase you each underwent immediately before deploying your formation to the National Training Center. I'm going to start with you, Spartan 7. I read your focus areas for the brigade, leader-driven risk management, lethal warfighting formation, sustainment as a combat functions. What did you learn in the limited time you had to prepare, and how did you maximize your presence and messaging as a result?
The reality was I didn't have a long opportunity to train with the brigade, to make the relationships, to focus on the culture that I thought was necessary winning in LISCO. But as I assumed the responsibilities, I wanted to step back and think about three focused areas that I thought every platoon sergeant, first sergeant, and command sergeant major could look at and get better growing daily. To maximize presence, I deliberately stayed between the BSA, the UMCPs, and the role two. I wanted to, you know, move throughout to see how the brigade was operating, to level the bubbles between all the nodes to ensure that our senior NCOs were preserving combat power and building combat power.
So really, like, the first time that you got to see your formation was during RSOI.
Correct.
Right? Can you run us through, like, what you did in RSOI?
During RSOI, I read through our TACSOP and our MEDSOP to ensure that all the subordinate organizations understood it. Something that I identified early on was we had the standard operating procedures. Unfortunately, we had them digitally. Our ability to distribute, I knew that would be an issue going forward. I wanted to move around and just share through word of mouth what our standard was verbatim from the SOPs that were already established.
That's really the ideal place to do it as a start point, right, is RSOI. As you're receiving all your people and your equipment, you're able to have the initial touch point, especially when they're coming fresh off the bus. It's a great way to see your organization and then impart some words of encouragement, some words of wisdom, and lay out some expectations and requirements. Follow-on question. Were those the right focus areas? Which one or ones would you have changed now looking back?
I think the focus areas were directionally correct, but today I would simplify them a little further. I would tell the senior NCOs, the platoon sergeants, the first sergeants, the sergeant majors, their job comes down to two things, and that's building combat power and preserving combat power.
And then Command Sergeant Major Smith, you recently came in and assumed responsibility of an infantry combined arms battalion. Same question to you, but in the context for your battalion.
I took responsibility of the battalion as Torch had already left. So I came, much like Sergeant Major Willis, took over at RSOI where I met our S4, I met our Master Gunner, I met our key players for the battalion, as well as all the soldiers here. My first objective was kind of to observe our systems and processes for the battalion, see how we communicate with each other, how the leaders took charge, how the soldiers received the message, and then initiated movement on the plan. As we got moving forward, before we moved into the box, I brought in all my NCOs and I kind of laid out my expectations for them, which was two things. One, I trust you to do the right thing. And two, if the bad thing happens, it's your fault. I put that pressure on them to hold them accountable. You know, heat cats, any kind of injuries or safety issues that we have in the box, it's on the NCO to make sure we mitigate that. And I wanted them to know that they're empowered to make the change before the soldiers rolled out to keep them safe.
Both of y'all essentially alluded to the fact that as senior non-commissioned officers, our primary roles and responsibility when it comes to combat operations, what I gather during my time and what you have shared is that we own preserving combat power and regenerating combat power. And that starts with the people within our organization. I wholeheartedly believe that is the true definition of taking care of soldiers. It's making sure that they have the right equipment, the right information, the right training, and the right resources to accomplish the task that we ask them to do. Moving on to the ops group and the op four side of the house, we have a rare opportunity with Command Sergeant Major Melcher, who really wore multiple hats as an observer coach trainer for rotation 2608 and has interacted with the organization from LTP to force on force. So from an outside of the box perspective, how did you maximize coverage for various leaders in Spartan Brigade having to wear those multiple hats? And then from your observations, what best practices have you observed from highly affected Command Sergeant Majors on the battlefield?
To Spartan 7's point, the preservation of combat power. So one of the key tenets of 4.0 is logistics. A second one being the health service support. And the focus area of combat power preservation, where the Sergeant Major needs to be and inject himself into the process as early as possible. And that comes back to the discussion we had earlier about refining SOPs and making sure our SOPs are tight and we're actually practicing what we preach in our SOPs and pulling those things out, dusting them off as early as LTP and refining them. So we have the SOP as the fallback, creating those playbooks and building a playbook in the event we have to pivot or change the way or we go off a branch plan. And creating a playbook to be able to function off of that necessarily isn't written in doctrine in our SOP, but it's a card and a play card that we can go off of.
And then moving over to Black Horse 7, Command Sergeant Major Shipman, you get to observe the rotational training units in an opposing force perspective as they enter in for reception, staging, onward movement, and integration. You've seen multiple rotations out here as a Command Sergeant Major for 11th ACR, and you've interacted with their CSMs before, during, and after. What best practices can you share for senior NCOs preparing to lead a new organization to fight in the National Training Center or in large-scale combat operations?
A lot of the time, what I'll speak with them about is trust your skills. We were put in a position as a Command Sergeant Major based off of our experience. So you've seen a lot of this stuff happen, and you know the right answer to get us to yes, right? Trusting those skills. No shot ever survives first round downrange. And the same thing goes with logistics. Logistics is a hustle, and it's got to be a hustle. You're the person put in front of that to control that hustle, right? You know where it's got to go. And if it can't go to where we've planned it to go, you know how to shift priorities over to where it should go. You also are the one who can help guide those junior officers and junior leaders to make the right decision. Sometimes they get wedded to the plan and they don't want to come up off of it. You're there to do that reality check with them to say, hey, that's not going to work right now. Let's shift focus over here. Let's resupply these individuals, or let's conduct CASAVAC over here. But you're that common sense check, and you're the one who gives them that confidence to go through and make those decisions and execute the branch plan or the adjustment.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, when you dial in on ADRP 5.0 and 6.0, they both discuss how a command sergeant major utilizes their skills and experience to help with the planning process, especially helping officers with assessing their plans and making sure that it makes sense for one, and you're able to take what the ground truth is because you understand from all the way to the 10 level, the soldier perspective, how the impacts are when that plan doesn't properly account for the requirements. And that's awesome that you shared that, because I'd like to think that we're also quality control managers of the plan. All plans are not gonna be executed to the T when it's time to go. However, the planning, the rehearsal, and ensuring that we have shared understanding piece helps us go back into what our professional non-commissioned officer corps is able to do, is make decisions on the ground in favor of opportunities and risk. Being empowered through mission command to make those decisions, because we understand the requirements, we're able to mitigate risk, we're able to seize opportunities. That is disciplined initiative right there. And that's why I love our corps, and I will always advocate and share these opportunities and authorities that we have as a professional non-commissioned officer corps. So moving on to the next topic, I want to explore the lessons learned captured during and after rotation 26-08. And Command Sergeant Major Willis and Command Sergeant Major Smith, I know firsthand the hardship of transitioning into the next echelon. The scale and scope of responsibilities are greater, and so come the problems you have to solve. You know, I want to spend some time with Spartan 7 because I know your formation just went 7X overnight, and you got new capabilities, new personalities, new assets, new resources, new enablers that you have to manage and help lead in a short time. So Command Sergeant Major Willis, what do you wish you knew before that you now know, and what would you have changed?
What I wish I knew before this rotation was just exactly how decisive combat power regeneration would become. Coming here to NTC, you understand maintenance and personnel replacement and sustainment. Those are pillars of being successful here. But coming out, I believe that the units that are capable of maintaining a high level of maintenance, personnel replacement, and just sustainment overall, those are units that don't culminate. Looking back, focusing at the senior non-commissioned officer, that platoon sergeant, that first sergeant, and the command sergeant major, making sure that they understand that they own that part of the fight. And just like everyone else, I had to step back in the beginning because, you know, most leaders, like we all do, the tactical fight is happening. I caught myself like, okay, step away from that. The commanders are going to fight that. How do I sustain this? How do I make sure that we're ready for the next phase of the operation? And sharing that throughout the command sergeant majors and first sergeants throughout the brigade.
I share the same sentiment, right? It goes back to your point of, you know, our roles and responsibilities to preserve and regenerate combat power. Because at the end of the day, who is going to give that commander the combat power necessary to continue fighting further, faster, and harder to meet those objectives, to meet the higher headquarters commander's intent? And that's awesome that you say that, because what I've found is typically the problems that you're going to have to solve are a break in the loop and understanding that sustainment starts and stops in the company troop battery assembly area, where it's either a log stat that results into a log pack, or it's a CASAVAC that results into a regeneration of a soldier back into your Alpha Alpha, or it's a recovery mission that results into getting a vehicle back up and getting them back into the fight. Mm-hmm. So that's great that you dialed in on that. You know, just coming through the doctrine, there's very broad guidance on roles and responsibilities on senior NCOs. And if we look back at our basic fundamentals as a non-commissioned officer, right, we take care of our soldiers. Mm-hmm. We accomplish the mission. And how do we do that? And how do we translate that on the battlefield? It goes back to what you just said. It's preserving and regenerating combat power. Command Sergeant Major Smith, at the battalion level, same question to you.
One thing I felt that I had trouble with coming in was coming out of the Ops Sergeant Major role and into the Command Sergeant Major role. In the beginning, I often found myself locked into what are the nitty-gritty details of our plan and really how effective in the minute details of the plan that I didn't need to be concerned with. We have a whole operation center or cell inside of our 3 shop that does that with the commander. They can handle that. Just as you're talking about preserving and regenerating combat power, what I looked at is what don't I want the commander to focus on? I want to make sure that the troops are available, the vehicles are available, and that we have the supplies needed to do the fight the commander wants to fight. I need the commander looking forward, which means I want to be where he's not looking. I want to get everything prepared behind the scenes so that he has all assets available to fight on the ground.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, the distribution of leaders across the battlefield, right? That's extremely important. The way that my previous brigade commander saw our roles and responsibilities distributed across the battlefield was he owned everything from the main to the deep, and I owned everything from the main to the rear. And periodically, I'd come forward to help him solve his problems. It was not uncommon for me to go forward and serve as the brigade's beach master during breach operations or a wet gap crossing. You know, these are great observations, great lessons learned that you don't typically see in any of the doctrine as far as specified tasks and roles and responsibilities when it comes to senior NCOs. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And so what I want to do is, from the ops group and the op four perspective, the during and the after, what are best practices you've observed from senior leaders, mainly first sergeants and command sergeant majors, during their rotations, either this one or previous rotations? Command sergeant major Shipman, I want to start with you on this one.
I think it's first sergeants and command sergeant majors at the battalion level striking that balance between what are you doing forward of, as you said, the CP to help the commander put the troops in the fight and do what they've got to do and make sure their attention's where their attention needs to be at. I see a lot of the time we'll fix the back area, the logistics, the sustainment, all that, and we sit back there and we circle. Well, we've got to push ourselves forward as well because we are the commander's senior tactician. Getting out there in front, who knows how to put in an OP better than a command sergeant major with 25 years who spent a ton of time in an OP? What are those fundamentals of reconnaissance? What is actionable intelligence? And being able to go forward and check on your soldiers and make sure that they're conducting those things. Black Horse, we do this so often that at times my troopers will get complacent. One of the things I put a lot of emphasis on is stand to. And I tell them that stand to in the morning is what sets the tone for the day. When you get out there and you conduct stand to and you ensure that it's done properly, you set priorities of work. They do personal hygiene. They do their PMCS. You know, those things, it sets the tone for the day. It says, hey, we've got a mission. We've got an enemy in front of us, and this is how we're going to get after it, right? Let's get in the glass. Let's pay attention. Let's make sure we're doing those rotations. That's where the command sergeant major comes in because we've got the most experience on the ground doing that. And then being able to pull back from that and knowing when to pull back from that, and you've sent your message far enough, going back to the rear area and ensuring that that sustainment still continues to happen. Because if the rotational unit can stay on top of their sustainment and stay on top of their regeneration, it puts the Black Horse on our heels. It gives us a fight. We have a hard time resetting our security zone, right, when we have to back off and everything. So staying on top of that sustainment, staying on top of that fuel, pushing those nodes forward so that you're keeping the Black Horse back on its heel. It's really striking that balance, right? And then using your squadron sergeants major and first sergeants to help you strike that balance, making sure that they understand. With competence comes confidence, right? And if those first sergeants and those command sergeant majors have that competence, they've got the confidence to go out, and you know that that's being handled in the rear so you can adjust forward and backward.
That's exactly it, right? Like, we've been here for 18 months. I think you and I have been here about the same amount of time, and it's the same vein. It's from the tip of the spear, those wake up, those priorities of work established by the first sergeant directed because he understands commander's intent. Those priorities of work, be it security. It's not cracking open that MRE as soon as they ruck flop. It's the security and survivability. It's the bore sighting tasks that are fundamental in surviving out here in the National Training Center. And then it's as we make our way back, it's those PCCs and PCIs in preparation for the mission. Decentralized PCCs. And then those centralized PCIs that we know are critical equipment and mission requirements to accomplish them. And then to your point about maintaining tempo and keeping the combat power moving forward and maintaining a min requirement to be able to complete the commander's mission is understanding the way the parts flow and combat power regeneration is. So a CSM from LTP on, we've been coaching this pretty heavily, is a CSM that understands ZPARC and how to read the print and the ESR. Those CSMs that are not the tactical edge, it's the ones that understand the sustainment process and not just the wave tops, but understand the actual nuances of parts order and priority part ordering and the flow of parts from the DSA to the BSA and how long that can take in the 5988 flow. A 5988 and something getting put on a 5988 is JV versus the understanding of how a part gets put on order and gets an IRCP vehicle back up to be able to maintain that tempo, be able to put rounds on target. That is where the CSM focus and the first arms and any kind of LPDs that can be ran on the back end prior to coming to the National Training Center that teach first arms and platoon sergeants on how to do that. Phenomenal conversation about sustainment and roles and responsibilities.
So I wanted to highlight not just for the National Training Center, but specifically for 11th Cavalry Regiment. Any fighter wants a great sparring partner, and you want that sparring partner to test you and show you where you're weak and give you that positive reinforcement on, okay, we're doing this correct. And I think Black Horse is the ultimate sparring partner for any brigade combat team that comes through the National Training Center. And it definitely highlighted fighting this force, definitely highlighted where we have room to grow. And like any other organization, we pride ourselves on being a learning organization. So thank you, Command Sergeant Major Shipman, for putting up a great fight and sparring with us the way you guys did.
Absolutely, brother. I'll share that sentiment with my troopers. They fight to train the best.
This is what we provide, right, outside the home station training strategy, is our ability to provide a thinking and adaptive opposing force to really stress and test your systems. Because really that's what it boils down to, right, is extending your lines of communication mm-hmm. and stressing and testing your systems and seeing really how adaptive you can be on the move. What can you course correct? Mm-hmm. What can you change on the fly so that you can keep pushing Black Horse on its heels? You see anything else on your perspective, Sergeant?
No, and that's why we transitioned to open phasing. It used to be where you could just fight a 72-hour fight and everybody could endure that. And then we know we're going to power down for a little bit. With the open phasing now at the National Training Center, it is a fight for 12 to 14 days. You're going to fight some of the best trained kids in their backyard, and these soldiers have do this routinely. Hats off to Spartan Brigade and the 11th ACR for putting up a good fight with each other.
One thing that I want to bring back Command Sergeant Major Gary Kurtzall is he said that the National Training Center is a leadership factory, and I wholeheartedly agree with him because legacies and leadership are built in the box. And it's hard to build that if you can't replicate real combat environments with a operational environment that allows you to extend your lines of communication and a thinking and adaptive opposing force to really stress and test your systems out. Did you see anything else from your perspective, Sergeant Major Smith, at the battalion level?
Yeah, for us, it was a good time, like you're saying, to stretch our legs. Back at Stuart, we're pretty confined to a small space there. So as we're looking at our logistics packages at our whole sustainment enterprise, our maintenance, everything is right there. So for the first sergeants, for the maintainers, the FMTs, their whole crews, being able to stretch out and kind of find where those weak points were in our system, help them really refine how they operate and how the first sergeants really need to pull out of that fight and look at their sustainment, talking the medical, talking the maintenance on their vehicles, and then regenerating that combat power for their commanders. A few of them learned they got to get out of that fight, let the commander and the PLs fight. They got to get back there and regenerate that combat power for their commanders.
You know, you bring up a great point because, you know, that transition from platoon sergeant to first sergeant, this is really where you go from tactical leadership to organizational leadership, right. And you go from fighter to sustainer, really an organizational manager, really a manager of problem sets, and then how you prioritize, you know, your day-to-day so you can get after that. I mean, it goes back to that. This is a leadership factory, right? And it's going to stress and test you. And, you know, just going back to the theme of this, it's that transition and contact, which most commonly occurs, right, before, during, and after significant events. What better way to test it than through the crucible of ground combat at the National Training Center? No, that's awesome. Thank you, gentlemen. So this is a great conversation. You know, looking forward to many more with future rotations, but also many more with Black Horse 7 and then other 40s within the Critter Teams and Operations Group. So on behalf of Operations Group, again, I am Mike DeLeon. I'm the new Outlaw 40. Thank you for listening. Special thanks to Command Sergeant Major Willis and Command Sergeant Major Smith from the 2nd Armored Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division, to Command Sergeant Major Shipman, Black Horse 7 of the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, and really just a warm thank you to Command Sergeant Major Melcher, who's been holding it down here in Operations Group, wearing multiple hats, providing senior trainers and rotational training units with a great experience while they do the rotations here in the High Mojave. Lastly, our observer coach trainers are on your team. I invite you to take a look for our latest products and subscribe to our TAC Talks on YouTube for quick hitting lessons. Thanks for listening to Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, brought to you by the Warrior Chronicles. Train the Force.